Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look." And I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
Your iTunes reviews help Pantsuit Politics move up the rankings, which spreads our love of nuance far and wide. Plus, being called the Oprahs of nuance made my life. So please take a few minutes and leave a review by searching Pantsuit Politics in the podcast app and clicking the Reviews tab. In a relatively calm week by Trump administration standards, we have learned a lot about the people occupying the administration.
Today we discuss Ivanka's role, the Mike Pence marriage controversy, and listener feedback.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance.
Welcome to another episode of The Briefcase. And just in case your feeds went a little crazy this week, we were re-indexing the show, and I have some exciting news. The entirety of the Pantsuit Politics archive is now available on iTunes, which means you can go back and listen to our very first episode. Beth, have you done that recently?
No, and I don't really want to. It makes me kind of anxious hearing you talk about that.
It's like totally adorable and
hilarious, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's it's not terrible.
It's a learning curve, y'all. Podcasting is a learning curve.
Yeah. So there were a lot of really good discussions, sort of evergreen discussions at the beginning of our show about abortion and gun control and a lot of things that I'm pretty proud of. So those were kind of nice to go back and listen to. So if you're, you know, just a hardcore Pantsuit Politics listener and need more Pantsuit Politics in your life, you now have that available to you.
Well, thank you for doing that, Sarah. Yeah, I was looking at our download numbers and thought, what is happening? And then I realized it's because everybody's phones went bananas on them.
Yeah. So sorry about that. But I think that when you go back and listen to our first episode, you'll see that it was worth it just for the pure entertainment value.
So we're going to talk today about Ivanka Trump, which is something that we've every episode been like, oh, we need to talk about Ivanka. And then we sort of run out of time. Ivanka is now officially an employee of the United States government. She is an unpaid employee of the United States government, but she is going to have some security clearance. She has an office in the West Wing, and she has the title of Special Assistant to the President. Your thoughts, Sarah?
I don't like Ivanka, so I should put that out there first and foremost. I find her to be a privileged, out of touch, faux feminist. How's that for nuance? So, but here's my nuance on this. I think in reality, there is a long history of presidents without wives or with wives unwilling to fulfill what we have historically seen as first lady duties. I think that's what we have in Melania Trump. I don't think she has any interest in being an active first lady for reasons I won't pretend to understand. And I think that Ivanka is going to fulfill a lot of those roles, which is fine. My problem is that I think it's going to go beyond that. I think that the family will continue to profit from Trump's presidency. They have shown no willingness really to separate themselves, or much less to make sure they're not profiting, much less make sure there's no appearance of profiting. And so I think that they'll probably continue to do that. I think this is just one step closer to tying their interest as the Trump family into the power found within the presidency, which is what really bothers me about it. But at the same time, like I said, I think there's historical precedents for daughters fulfilling these roles. And I'm sure Chelsea would have done something similar. The reason I think it's different is because I think the Clinton family's long history of public service and Chelsea serving on the nonprofit foundation's positioning is not equivalent to Miss, I wore my bracelet on my 60 Minutes interviews, or go buy my dress, I wore at the RNC speech. Like, it's just, it's different. And that's what bothers me about it. So that's where I'm on Ivanka.
I am happy that she put out a statement acknowledging the applicability of the ethics rules to her. And I think that's a step in the right direction. I don't disagree with you about the family's blatant profit from Trump's presidency, but I think it's a move towards some sanity for Ivanka to say, I hear that concern, and so I'm going to subject myself to these rules. Because the truth is, she was going to be advising him in this capacity, whether anyone acknowledged it or not. So I'm glad that they're acknowledging it, and I think that's important. I think that it's kind of ridiculous that we're all losing our minds about Ivanka in the midst of everything else going on. And if we're going to lose our minds about something, let's do it about Jared Kushner, whose title is not special assistant to the president, but senior advisor to the president. If you want to talk about qualification and the commingling of interests, I think that's a more concerning point of focus than
Ivanka
taking this on.
Yeah, I don't like him at all.
It's just sort of in the scope of Trump world. I do feel like Ivanka tries to be more of a stabilizing force than anyone else. And it bugs me to read so much online about her qualifications, because there is a place for just trusted advisors around any leader of anything. And the White House seems to have a big gap in calm, rational figures willing to exercise good judgment. Now, does Ivanka always meet that standard? I'm sure not. But she's not, I just don't think that she's the most draconian figure in this novel. And this doesn't bother me. Of all the things, this just doesn't bother me.
I mean, I guess the problem is, if you see the world, if you see the Trump administration as a, if the spectrum of what to be upset about is based on, is sort of set by their behavior, or is an objective spectrum, right? So if your spectrum is objective and you just think that there are certain behaviors that shouldn't be violated, then there is plenty to be upset with about Ivanka. If your spectrum is set by the Trump administration itself, then yeah, in the presence of Steve Bannon, she's not that big of a deal. Do you see what I'm saying? But like, I think that it just depends on how you think about ethics within the White House. And if you're just, well, we have to live in the Trump administration's world where we can't be upset over what anywhere else would be a clear ethics violation.
I don't think this would be a clear ethics violation anywhere else in the world. I think this is more honest than most families occupying the White House about what a person is doing.
I disagree.
There's a long history of spouses and family members exercising enormous influence over the president. And so she's just calling it what it is.
I think if she did not work for his business and they did not make money off their connections and their name, yes, that would be true. But you cannot compare them to other families because they have no history of public service and all they have a history of is profiting. And so I think that they're just different. You can't compare them to what other families did. I mean, because you have such a long history of families with decades of public service and multi-generations of politicians and leaders. And I just don't think it's the same thing because they bring this very complex web of corporate interest to the table. And we ignore that and pretend like they're like the Clintons or the Bushes at our peril, I think.
I think that people who bring decades of public service also bring a complex web of interest. And I don't think we're ever going to solve the financial entanglement of the Trumps, which I agree is an enormous problem, by not being more forthright about these things, by not having family members subjected to these rules. I mean, in some ways, I think, you know, every single one of them ought to be an employee of the government, an unpaid government employee, so that they're all subject to the requirements imposed on other federal workers. If they're going to, in fact, be this close to the president, which they are, then let's call it what it is and oversee it accordingly.
Unfortunately, that's assuming they're going to follow the rules. I mean, Kellyanne violated the rules and nothing happened.
We are special breakfast people here at Pantsuit Politics, but not just when Beth and I are on the road. The truth is, I want something warm from the oven every Saturday morning and Sunday morning. It's just the truth. It makes it feel special, makes it feel exciting. I don't want to work at it. So the first time I ever saw Wild Grain, which is bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, I was obsessed. You guys, I've been a member for over a year. It's amazing. It's so easy. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. You can fully customize your Wild Grain box. You can choose any combination of breads, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit to start your subscription. Sometimes I make one single croissant just for me because I want to feel special and they're so good. You heard me. Free croissants in every box. And $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit. That's wildgrain.com/pantsuit. Or you can use promo code pantsuit at checkout. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Can I get something off my chest? Every day I feel a little pang of sadness because I think about Griffin going away to college. Y'all, he's a freshman in high school. This is not healthy or normal. This is why I have it on my list of things to talk to my therapist about. We all carry around these things, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us. Therapy is a safe space to get these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You gotta get it off your chest. And you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pantsuit. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You guys, I love my Aura frames. I have one in my office. I have one in my kitchen. I have given one as a housewarming gift. I have given one as Mother's Day, Father's Day. They are the most amazing gifts because this app is a game changer, in my personal opinion, in digital frames. It makes it so, so easy to get the pictures on there and even videos. It plays like you're in Harry Potter, you guys. It is the best. I love mine so much. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
You want to know another thing that I'm not worked up about? Mike Pence's marriage.
Why is this a controversy? People don't hang out with enough evangelicals if they're worried about this marriage, I'll be honest.
The Washington Post has a profile on Karen Pence, Mike Pence's wife, and in it, the Post notes that Mike Pence does not have meals alone with other women or attend events where alcohol is served without Karen with him. And the internet has thoughts on that. And I'll tell you why it doesn't. I mean, do I like that attitude generally? Nope. Would I choose that for my marriage? Absolutely not. And I will do everything that I can to raise children who don't make those choices in their marriage either. But this is just none of my business. And I feel like it's the slipperiest of slopes. If you start to say, how can Mike Pence do his job if he imposes this kind of restrictions on himself? Then doesn't that take us into how could a person who prays 7 times a day do the job? Or how could an atheist do the job because they don't have a faith structure supporting them through hard times? Or how could a transgender person be the vice president because other foreign leaders might not understand that? I mean, I just feel like it takes us down a path of intrusiveness into people's personal choices that we don't want to go down.
Also, that's ridiculous. Like, there hasn't been a long history of presidents doing the job while they were cheating on their wives nonstop.
Yeah, there's just a point at which I think after a person is elected, I don't know, I think they can do their thing.
I just think it shows, like I said, I think that people are offended because they don't. If you have never been in an evangelical setting where people have these views on marriage, then yes, it would probably be pretty off-putting and shocking. But this is not abnormal. I know a lot of people that feel this way about marriage and who treat their marriage similarly. And whatever, Godspeed. It's not how my marriage works. But I don't spend a lot of time. I don't think anybody understands anybody else's marriage. I don't understand my best friend's marriage. To think that you would understand somebody's marriage through a one Washington Post interview is absurd.
We don't understand our own marriages some days, right? I mean, it's a personal, private, ever-changing dynamic between a couple. And I get that Mike Pence's entire history as a public official creates concern about his feeling about women generally. I get it. But this is who the guy is, and he hasn't hidden it from us. And I think his personal practices between himself and his wife are the least of our concerns in that regard.
Yeah, moving on.
Senate Intelligence Committee, bravo. They have been acting like adults.
You found some adults. Last week, we were desperate for you to find some adults, and we found some.
So Senators Burr and Warner are a little bit rubbing it in the House's face, right? That they're the adults. Like, they're very much
well,
taking,
it's not hard
the
way
moment.
Nunes is behaving. Jesus.
It's not. But they have pledged a full investigation. It looks like they are reviewing carefully thousands of pages of documents. They have 20 witnesses lined up to testify. They have said without any hesitation that they will use the power of subpoena in their investigation. And I think it's good. And I think it's exactly what, you know, we want from these intelligence committees. So hooray. We know that the Trump administration has been busy in other ways. So we'll talk in depth next week about the regulatory changes that happened. We don't want to give them short shrift, and we don't want to miss the Friday feedback.
Yeah, we got lots of good feedback this week. So Bryn, the guiding North Star of our podcast, emailed us with a really great question after our empathy deficit episode, which was, how can we possibly empathize with everyone? And he talked about some of the Trump supporters who have been profiled on MSNBC and other places for feeling like they let down and that they trusted him not to do certain. They thought he wouldn't do certain things. And now they're so upset that he is, in fact, doing those things. And Bryn said, I find myself constantly caught in this catch-22 where I want to empathize with Trump supporters who feel betrayed while at the same time fighting back the urge to just scream, we told you so, over and over again. So is it possible to empathize with everyone?
I don't think that's the standard. I guess that's my answer.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think that, I was listening to one of our beginning episodes and we were talking about, it was a news stories we don't care about when we were talking about like stuff like Caitlyn Jenner back in good old 2015. Oh, 2015.
You were so quaint.
You were adorable. And, you know, the point we made is there's not a finite amount. You know, you're not going to run out. The stronger you flex those empathy muscles, the better they get. So, or the more you flex, the stronger they get. And I think that both things can be true. You can empathize with someone and be incredibly frustrated with the behavior that put them in the situation with which you empathize. I do it with my children all the time. So I think that you don't have to pick. And if you don't feel empathy for somebody in that moment, that's okay too. It's not a legal requirement. It's just sort of a spiritual exercise to think through the impact of these news stories and the people that still exist in these lives after the cameras have turned off.
And, one of the things that Brent asked is how we translate empathy to policy. And I think the answer is sometimes we don't. Sometimes empathy wouldn't make for good policy. And I don't think either of us thinks that we should be trying to legislate that everyone feel compassion for one another. You just don't get it done that way. I think it's
good policy comes from the policymakers empathizing, but it's not about forcing people to empathize. You know, when we understand everyone's perspective and where they're coming from and what motivates them, yeah, that can inform great policy. But as far as requiring people to do that, I know that's not going to get us nowhere fast.
It can inform great policy. It can also inform really divergent perspectives on what constitutes great policy. You know, I don't think empathy leads us down a single path. I feel like it's more of an exercise in conscientiousness. Like sometimes I'll have a thought about a person and I will think to myself, what an ugly, toxic thought that is. But I still have it. You know, and so calling it out that way for me means, okay, I have that thought. I'm not going to beat myself up over it, but I'm also not going to go spread that thought to other people. I'm going to contain that one in myself, right? And I think that's more what this is about. So just, you know, knowing I'm watching this, I feel conflicted. That's a level of awareness that helps heighten the debate. I don't think that means you have to feel any particular way or reach any particular conclusion because of that level of awareness.
We also had several listeners message us and ask, like, it seems as if there is a lot of room for compromise among moderate Republicans, Democrats, and even, I don't know if the Freedom Caucus could get in on this, and Paul Ryan with regards to healthcare, and whether we saw sort of that same possibility, an opportunity, and how likely we thought that was. Beth, you want to start?
I see that possibility and opportunity, and I think it is highly unlikely because now I think we are seeing that the cynical among us knew all along, which is that healthcare is a political football that people want to score points by passing around the field, but nobody wants accountability for actual action.
Well, I will push back on that because Democrats did take accountability for that.
They did. I don't think Republicans are going to do that. I just don't. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that our listener Allison asked is which representatives could do across the aisle work on a major bill like that without having it be political suicide. The truth is, in the news environment in which we live, we just are going to have to elect people willing to commit political suicide. Mm. I think we're going to have to elect people willing to serve in the House in 2-year terms. And willing to serve in the Senate in 6-year terms, because that's what it's going to take. I was reading a story about a woman, Julia Hahn, who is working with Steve Bannon in the White House. She was a Breitbart reporter. And I was reading about her history and some of her articles. And she is just a burn it down kind of woman. And she wrote so many incendiary pieces about Marco Rubio because of his work on the Gang of Eight with immigration reform. And I thought, you know what? There's always going to be a Julia Hahn out there. There's always going to be an Ann Coulter or a Sean Hannity or a Lawrence, what's his name, from MSNBC on the other side, where people are going to hold you to really pure visions of their ideology. And I think we just need to elect some people who say, yeah, you can do that. And if I lose my seat, I do.
We could also stop giving those people such big microphones. I think Ted Koppel that sat down with Sean Hannity and told him he was hurting America?
Yes, he did.
That's so true. That's what Jon Stewart did on Crossfire that time. You're hurting America. I mean, maybe that's the truth, too. I know those voices are entertaining, but dang. I mean, I guess that's what we're trying to do here on Pansy Politics is give voice to the people saying, hey, moderates, anybody out there? Anybody want to make a compromise? We like compromise. And I think there's more space to do that as a senator because you have a bigger microphone. Even in the most ideologically pure states, there isn't as much. There's no gerrymandering for one thing. And so I think there's a little bit more space for people to do that. You know, John McCain is hated by a huge proportion of the Republican base, and yet he still won. So
they have 6-year terms, too. They have that people don't have the short memory syndrome and they're not constantly running. So I think that the opportunity is there. I just think the climate is one where we reward people not seeking it. And I was having a little discussion on Twitter with our listener, Eric, who thinks that, you know, we want people to be principled, but when they behave in principled ways, we call them ideologues and attack their partisanship. And I just don't think that a willingness to compromise detracts anything from your deeply held beliefs. I mean, I truly believe there are topics where the government does not have a role. But if Sarah and I were sitting next to each other in the United States Senate, I would give on some of those things because it's a big country and my principles aren't the only ones that matter. So having principled people who can be checks on one another, I think is really important. And I do think there's a place for the purist among us. But we don't have anybody, seemingly right now, willing to bridge that gap. And that's, it's not that I think everyone should be a moderate. So I think we ought to have some moderates.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look," and I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. And they've even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit right. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
There's not much worse than a dry, itchy scalp. Also, when you get your hair colored and then it does not last as long as you and your stylist discussed, it could be that unfiltered, mineral-filled water is the culprit. Hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin, and about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
So we also got several questions about moving from employer-sponsored healthcare that we're going to try to get to in a future episode and maybe paint the picture of what we see if we did move away from employer-sponsored healthcare. But I wanted to end this episode with a really great email we got from Megan. She read a New York Times article entitled A Great New Accidental Renaissance.
And she found this great quote. "It's early, but we may be experiencing a great awakening for the human values that under siege by a dark side presidency. People are going inward to find something bigger than Trump and outward to limit the damage he inflicts on the country." And she said the use of verbiage human values struck a chord with me. "I think we are still deciding as a collective species what it means to be human and what rights and values are included. I have been thinking recently about the difference between the definition of right and wrong and how we define human rights. In order to decide on the rights we all have as humans, a collective understanding and agreement of right and wrong needs to be reached. I had the thought that right and wrong were the same as rights, but I think they are distinct ideas that are not only connected but need to be approached in sequence." And it's so good, and it really spoke to me after finishing Becoming Wise by Krista Tippett. I think that is a conversation she is really developing. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be human in our new technological age? And I think Megan is the one that started our book club. And I think Strangers in Their Own Land sort of addresses, like, what does it mean to be American? What are those values? And I think we are having those conversations. And I think that it is incredibly valuable. And I just love that quote and the idea that we're really working through these big questions as a species.
I think when you're thinking about what's humane too, we have to remember that politics is one forum for that conversation, but it cannot and should not be the only forum.
So true.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Briefcase. Thank you to Morgan for becoming a new subscriber and Caitlin for her generous contribution. And thank you to all of you who support our podcast and particularly our all-stars, Melissa, Tracy, Ashley, Audrey, Christine, Nicolette, Paige, Sydney, and Priya. And we will be back with you on Tuesday. Until then, keep it nuanced, y'all.
Thank you to our producer, Nicholas Holland, and to our Chief Creative Officer, Dante Lima, for all the work they do to make Pantsuit Politics possible, and to all of you for making this community so special. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Pantsuit Politics, or Instagram at Pantsuit Politics. Please leave us your feedback and send us your ideas for show topics and Pantsuit Primers on social media, or you can email us at sarah@pantsuitpoliticsshow.com or beth@pantsuitpoliticsshow.com.